time is far spent. And we're going to, let's go look at, first of all, we talked about last time the book of Joshua. And we said from the book of Joshua that God speaking to Joshua, and you know, Joshua starting out his ministry, starting out his journey. And he seemed to have a hard time. Evidently, he was afraid. He was afraid to take the reins from Moses, a transfer of power, of authority, and he was to lead Israel. And how many people know that sometimes taking a new job, relocating, can be difficult. Going to a new country, going to a new place, going to a new city. I remember years ago, and not too long ago, 1998, when I relocated to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and go there and sit under Brother Hagin. And I didn't have any money. He didn't ask me if I had money. He just said to go. So I guess I had to figure that out. When he said to do something, he's going to fulfill it. And so here's a young man by the name of Joshua. And he followed in the footsteps of his leader. And he was mentored by, the Bible says, he was followed after Moses. And he took the reins from Moses. And here's what God had to say to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Are you ready? I did have my staff back there with my notes, but I'm just backtracking a little bit from last time. So this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. How many know people help you understand that day and night means, you know, all the time? Meditate on the word all the time. Get the word of God in your mind, because the mind, you know, is where we begin to plant the word. It gets down in our hearts. If you begin to meditate long enough, it becomes imprinted in your spirit and becomes a part of you. Are you still here? Amen. Glory to God, amen. I felt that maybe you just exited for a while, went for coffee. So he said, but thou shalt meditate there night, day and night, that thou mayest, according that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And we gave you a scripture, or at least, you know, one version. I believe one of the scriptures said that thou will have, you know, be able to act wisely. The last section of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Thou shalt act wisely. How many people like to be a wise guy? Like to act wise, just, you know. You need to have wisdom, in other words. Amen? Are you there? I can't see too many people because it's bright here. So, in Proverbs 4, 7, this, in the Good News translation, says, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever you get insight. Get insight. You know, insight is a deeper level of wisdom. Deeper level of understanding the Word of God. Just getting a real, you know, forecast of what's going to happen next. As you get into the wisdom of God, get into the Word of God, when you get into the Word of God, then you know what's going to happen next. I believe you are faith people, and you get into the Word of God, you're not afraid, because even though you got trouble, if you get into the Word of God, you know everything's going to turn out all right. Amen? You're going to turn out all right. Everybody say, everything's going to turn out all right. Come on now, say, everything is going to turn out all right. It's going to be okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. Praise God, amen. We got to get some faith in here, amen. Get some faith going. We told you last time that wisdom comes from God and God alone. You can't get wisdom. I mean, you can learn different things. You acquire information. And we talked about two kinds of wisdom previously. We talk about the wisdom of the world, and you know that comes from worldliness, from the evil one. You can have wisdom, you can do things with the worldly wisdom, which the devil can, you know, be part of that, and you can go ahead in life and actually get some things for yourself, bless yourself with worldly wisdom. But it's not godly wisdom. You can connive your way, you can lie, you can cheat, you can intimidate people to give you stuff, you can find ways in order to, you know, just be clever in the world's way to get things done. But it's not God's way. Eventually it's going to run out. James talks about, the book of James talks about it. So there's also the godly wisdom, the wisdom of God. And we want to have the wisdom of God. So we said the wisdom only comes from God. So to be successful, according to Scripture, in every affair of our lives, we must be founded on the wisdom of God, on the Word of God. So we said in Proverbs chapter 2, in verse 6, a Good News translation, he said, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. You don't get wisdom by going to university. You can't get that kind of wisdom having any kind of 4 or 5 degrees. You can't get that wisdom by living long and you're old and you live a long life. It doesn't mean you'll have wisdom. So age or intelligence and education, academic background, doesn't mean you have your will. You can be wise. Now, you can be smart and all that, intelligent in some lot of ways, and that's good, but it's still not the wisdom of God. It's not the same thing. The Bible talks about it. So, having wisdom is the primary thing we need when dealing with the affairs of life. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, said, get wisdom. This is the most important thing you can do for yourself. Many people are being decimated in life, being destroyed, in other words, because they haven't gotten the wisdom of God. If you knew the things that would happen in your life because of the choices you've made in the past, you wouldn't have made them with the wisdom of God. And now you're suffering financially. You're suffering physically. You have maybe some mental anguish. You got some things resurfacing that are affecting you. If you knew and had the wisdom of God, you would never made that. In fact, some of the decisions you made kind of pushed you ahead, but then it puts you right back again. It's like snakes and ladders. How many people know what snakes and ladders is? Come on now, how many people know what, you know, I used to like snakes and ladders. We used to play that when we were kids. You know, you're winning ahead, your little brother's beating you, and then finally he got that thing and he falls all the way back down with the snake. All the time he's getting that ladder and just slipping back up there, then all of a sudden he's right back down. So that's how it is when you play with a snake. The devil is a snake, you know. I think you better put that on your status tonight before you go to bed. Say, I ain't fooling around with no snake. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They messed around with a snake. Are you doing okay? So some of you seem so serious, but it is serious. But it's, you know, like cool down a little bit. Okay. So wisdom is the most important thing, and Solomon, the most, you know, prosperous man, the most richest man, the most blessed man, the man who had all kinds of riches, you know, he had all kinds of riches, all kinds of pleasures. The Bible said he enjoyed all kinds of pleasures. There's not one pleasure that he can imagine that he didn't deny himself, and yet he said wisdom is the most important thing. Imagine that. Wisdom is the most important thing. And so, we see, we're going to get into some other things here. So, let us talk about, first of all, let's put on our board here, our screens, a couple of, you know, the definitions of wisdom. Let's have that put on there. Let's go to the dictionary first, my friends back there. Let's look what the dictionary says. You all know what a dictionary is, and a thesaurus. And if you went to school, I didn't even know what a thesaurus was. Anybody know what a thesaurus is? No, it's not an animal that lived 100 million years ago. It's a book that tells you what kind of different words can mean. So did you find that slide back there? No, you didn't find that slide back there. So, well, anyways. So let me just tell you the meaning of wisdom. One dictionary says wisdom is the the quality or state of being wise. Well, that's pretty straightforward. It's the knowledge of what is true, right, coupled with just judgment as to action. And this word again, we meet again, sagacity. The word sagacity. I found that in the dictionary. Well, I never use that word sagacity. I told you last time, it sounded like one family member on my reserve. And, you know, you don't go by the sagacity, it's because they're mean. So, you know, I never went by that street. So, anyway, it says here that, if I can get to find it again. Oh, no, what happened to it? It's up there now? See, that's what happened. They took it out of here and put it up there. It also means discernment or insight. Discernment or insight. So wisdom is having discernment. You know, here's something that you need to know about wisdom. Wisdom has to do with having insight of what's going to happen next. Wisdom is understanding, you know, progression of actions, of consequences, what happens if you make certain decisions. And it's about making the right decision. You know what's going to follow next, and making the wrong decision. It's learning how to make the right decision and having the right kind of, reward, if you want to call it that. So God told Joshua that he would have good success. That's what we want, meditating on the Word of God. Young's translation in Joshua 1:8 says that then thou shalt act wisely. That's what Young's translation says of the Joshua 1:8, the latter section of that verse. So we want to act wisely. We want to have to be able to be wise in life. We don't want to fall back. We don't want the devil nipping at our heels, walking down the life. I mean, there's some decisions that I've made over in my life in the past still affect me today, even though I have not. I didn't go drinking over the years. I've never had any affairs. I didn't go, using drugs. I didn't do all that. But it's still, you know, after all these years, some 40-some odd years, I haven't used anything. And yet there's still things in my past that's kind of nipping at me. Now, I'm not going to go back and use because it's happened to me, but it's still there. See, there's consequences. Everybody say consequences. So this is why God wants you to make the right decision. Because it'll affect you for a long time. The way you're eating right now, the kind of foods and what you're doing with your life, can affect you 20 years down the road. I'll look over here because I think maybe I'm looking too much over there. So I don't want to just say all those people are just eating, foods. I'm going to look over here because there's some people in here, I got a word in all of this, some people here like to eat chicken. Every night, three times a day. Let's move right on. So we talked about the difference with knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and data and so on. And we learn from experience. And we said wisdom is the ability to discern and judge all aspects of life with the knowledge of what is true and right and lasting and the right application for whatever we're doing. We said insight is the deepest level of knowing, the most meaningful for your life because, you know, it just has that significant understanding about what's going to happen next, how your life is going to turn out. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, he says, you know, the story about the parable about the wise and the foolish man. You remember that parable? He said, you know, the wise man, he built his house on the Word of God. And when the storms of life came, he's able to sustain himself and stand upon that Word. No matter what comes your way, you're standing on the Word of God. Can you say amen? I just feel faith rising here, man. The Word of God, if you get the Word of God in you, you're building yourself right now. You're investing your time. You come here Wednesday night, and you listen to the Word of God, and you're being disciplined, and you're being corrected. You know, God's correcting you as you're sitting here. And as you do that, you're preparing yourself so that when things happen to your life, You're not going to be all shook up. You're not going to be decimated. You're not going to be destroyed. You're going to be strong when everything's all settled. You're going to be standing there, strong as ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Stronger than ever. And so he says, Jesus said in the same chapter 7, he says, but a foolish man will build his house on the sand. He'll build his house on just different things he runs after. He runs after fame. He runs after money. He runs after possessions. He runs after people. Make people love me and so on and so forth. Just satisfy people. And all of a sudden when that's gone, they fall apart. As much as I love my wife, if she's gone, I ain't going to fall apart. I'm going to cry for her if she leaves before me. But history says, you know, because I'm older, I'm going to be gone before she is. Amen? But that's not always true. But we'll have to see whose faith is stronger. Amen? So Brother Hagin, I mean, he left before his wife was younger, and he left. He said, I'm tired of this. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. You know? But thank God that we can determine and predetermine how we're going to react. You know, you find these people always reacting to circumstances, always reacting to how they feel. You have to determine beforehand by getting to the Word. When bad news comes, how are you going to behave? That's what you do, and that's why you build your life on the Word. You have to know that if you lose everything, you can start all over again. And again, that's what Colonel Sanders did, right? I mean, he knows the full history of Colonel. So I called Ernie Sanders. Amen. This is an inside joke. Ernie, I love you with all my heart, but you got to stop eating chicken. Come out to Toonie Tuesdays. Okay. So, again, some people are not wise. There are people who are wise. So wisdom is incomparable. You cannot compare wisdom with anything in the world, any riches, any fame, no matter what it is. You cannot compare wisdom. You know, it's a preciousness about anything. The scripture talks about, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, NLT says, the wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Nothing. Nothing. That's what Solomon said. You know, I have all the riches in the world. I have all the wonderful things in the world. And yet wisdom is the only thing. It's the most important thing in life. He had women. He had all kinds of porcupines. How many wives did he have, right? Remember that? The Bible said, he had porcupines over the years. He had all kinds of stuff there. He had all kinds of riches and money and so on, and fame, and he was very famous. And yet the thing about it, you know, people running after their own thing, you know, he said wisdom is the most important thing. Thank God for that. And we're learning about it. And we're going to go over stuff over and over and turn different things and see how important it is. We're preparing for today. That's right. Glory to God. Now, let's get into tonight's message here. Hallelujah. That's pretty good, isn't it? A good introduction? Amen. So receiving correction. Everybody say receiving correction. Now I'm going to correct everybody today. Make sure everything's okay. Are you going to brace yourself? Amen? Okay, so here, again, let's just read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. In other words, you can't just say, well, you know, I'm not going to church tonight. I know they preach the word here, but I'm not going to. I need to go watch some baseball over here. If you're a church, you need to come if you can come. And then in verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Learn to perceive things. Learn to have that perception. Learn to have that valuable perceptivity in your spirit by the Spirit of God about how to do things to make it right. Now, here's the idea. I'm going to just give you another few minutes here. This idea tonight about what I'm going to say here in the next few minutes. Correction is never easy to receive or to take, but it's always necessary and it's always good for you. If you're someone that don't like to be corrected, you hit it for some sad and bad days. So nobody likes to be corrected, but the person who receives correction will become wiser. Correction will help you or all of us to become even more successful than what we are right now. You've been successful, but you'll be more successful in the days ahead as you correct yourself. Wise people love to be corrected because they become wiser and become more successful. But fools hate being corrected or disciplined, and they get into more and more trouble as they can't carry on. Well, correction is the best thing for us because wisdom is given to us. Let's be open to God and let Him correct us as He sees fit. I've listened to different ones that I've looked at as ministry over the years. I've listened to Brother Hagin. I've followed him over the years. I tried to emulate his way, his style of preaching, his way of teaching, and the way he listened to the Holy Ghost and the way he operates with the authority and all that stuff. I followed him, and over the years, the Lord spoke to me in 1989 to go follow Brother Hagin. Leave your family and your kinfolk and move to the south. So we went to the south, and we lived there. And we heard a lot of things. God corrected me, made me change different things, and learned to operate on a different kind of anointing than the one I was used to. I was used to, operating in what we call a tangible anointing, a demonstration of power. The Lord said to me, you need to move into another realm. He didn't say it'll never happen again, but it's, we need the demonstration of power, and that's necessary. But being a pastor, you're more or less in the teaching ministry, and you're more or less operating in what we call the gifts of the Spirit and the discernment and word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirit. And so, God wants us to hear His word, so that we can have the occasion to hear more wisdom. Over here in Proverbs 1, he said, "Hear ye, my children." Proverbs 1, we'll read about several verses of scripture here. "Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." "For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom and get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. And she shall bring to thee an honor. When thou hast embraced her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. The years that are alive shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, the steps shall not be straitened or hampered, and you will not stumble. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Hold fast of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn not from it and pass away." Now, the purpose of wisdom and instruction here, Proverbs chapter, let's go to Proverbs chapter chapter 1. Let's read a few scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 1, New Living Translation. Proverbs chapter 1, did you find it? Their purpose is to teach people. This is the these are the Proverbs of Solomon, verse 1, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. The Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those who with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and the riddles. Verse 7, fear the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Man, that's amazing. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn back from them. Well, we said nobody likes to be corrected. There's a proper way and the wrong way to correct someone. Sometimes the Bible says you can correct publicly. If you read the book of Timothy, you'll understand Paul said correct someone publicly. If someone is negligent and persisting in certain ways in the church, the Bible says you can correct them publicly sometime, so that everybody will learn not to do what they're doing. Now, we didn't start that. We'll start that tonight. And and so it says here, so sometimes the Bible says you do that, but it's advisable not to do it because it's not always the right thing to do. It's not always the right time to do it. There's sometimes you don't correct right away because you shouldn't do it right away because it would hurt people. Over here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 10, it says here, Hebrews chapter 5, verse, let's go here. Let's go ahead and read the New Living Translation. Have you forgotten the encouraging words? Verse 5, Hebrews 12, 5. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make the light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure his divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who never is disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does of all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate, that you're really not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to discipline to the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us. Say, it's always good for us. So that we might share his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. It's important that we have discipline. It's important that we get discipline, and we get it through the preaching of the Word of God. If you come to church regularly, you will be disciplined on a regular basis. God will discipline you through the Word. He'll correct you through the Word. He doesn't break your leg. He doesn't give you cancer to teach you something. He doesn't kill your children. He doesn't take away your goods or your finances. He doesn't make you lose a job. He doesn't take away all those good things from you. Like a lot of people in them churches, they tell you that's what God does. He doesn't do those things. The devil does that. God is trying to make that to not happen for you. Sometimes when people, they have this theology that that's the way God disciplines them. Oh, God has given me the sickness so that I can learn something. That's not true. God corrects you through the Word. He corrects you through the church, through his pastors, through the leadership, and through instruction. That's why I tell people to come to leadership development, and you're going to learn a lot of things there about being a parent, about being a good worker, about being a good leader, about being a good community member, about being a good boss, supervisor at work. You'll learn all those things there in the leadership. It's foolish not to have anyone correcting you. Everyone needs correction. We all need spiritual parenting. We all need spiritual paddling once in a while. And I know a lot of you love it. Sometimes I paddle you on Sunday morning, and you just you're all happy, you know. And say, oh, wonderful pastor, thank you so much. And you didn't even know you were paddled. It's a good thing to be paddled by the Lord through His Word. Here's Proverbs 15:5 and verse 12, the Common English Bible, because I used this scripture because I knew there's a lot of common people will be here tonight. Amen. And they're going to be English ones too. Ernie, are you in this? Okay. Okay. Proverbs 15:5, are you there? Say amen. It says, a fool doesn't like a father's instruction. But those who heed correction are mature. So it's mature to be able to receive instruction, to receive correction. But those God who puts in your life, God puts people in your life that you can have a relationship with so they can correct you. You don't just go correcting anybody you want. That's not the way God does it. God uses people that are in your life to tell you things, to show you the best way to do things and how to come out on top. Verse 12, mockers don't like those who correct them. Tell them I'm busy right now. They won't go to the wise. I know for a fact that some people will not come to me because they don't want to be corrected. I know they avoid me because they don't want anything to do with me. They'll hide for several weeks and come out once in a while and just look on straight through and smile, pretend it's not me. Amen? Okay. Look at being corrected. You can be corrected in church. God made a way whereby we can be corrected through His Word by the pastor's preaching or teaching, or a guest minister might give you a word or something. All Scripture, the Bible says, given for our learning, for instruction. Sitting under an anointed Word of God and submitting under a local fellowship where there's balance and the Word of God, you can be corrected. And it'll save your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Continue thou in all things, verse 14, which thou hast learned, thou hast been assured of knowing, from whom thou hast learned them. And that's from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Scriptures make you wise. Scriptures make you have wisdom, and are allowed giving you this wisdom. So it tells us in the next verse there that all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. Notice this, for reproof, for correction. So when you're getting the Word of God, God is correcting you in church Sunday, Wednesday, correcting you, giving you instruction, giving you, you know, something so that you can make a change in your life. Anybody ever felt that? Like, you know, hey, man, I got corrected this morning. I need to. And some people get mad at me. They say, you know, you were talking about me this morning. I know you were. I don't know who you're talking to. I've had that a number of times. People said this to me. And they were actually mad, you know. I thought they were going to start fighting. Amen. Correction for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. So don't reject correction. Everybody said, don't reject correction. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, it says, the one who stays stubborn after many corrections will be suddenly broken beyond healing. That's a scary thing, a scary place to be, not wanting to be corrected. And all of a sudden, now you're in the hospital. And now you want everybody to pray for you to get you out of this thing. When all along you should have been in church, should have been under discipline, avoiding all that trouble. All the trouble you have right now is because you didn't have wisdom. I was going to say some things, but I thought about some things that I know that's happening in people's lives. I was going to say some things because you would say, he's talking about me. And yeah, yes, I probably am talking about you in a sense, but I'm not really talking about you. Otherwise, you would have made those decisions. Now you're in debt. You have relationship problems. And you've been sick. I'm trying to look at everybody. God's word is very, very clear to us that we need to have this word in our life. Embrace the word of God and embrace correction and say, God, I want to live. I don't want to have trouble, in my 60s. Like some of us are in our 60s now. Are you 60 now, Bill? 68. So he does not, he's proud of it. He's 68 now. He's going to be 70 pretty soon. Amen. I'm catching up to you, Bill. Glory to God. I think we better stop right now before we get into trouble here. Let's go ahead and all stand up. Thank God for the word. Amen. Correction is important. Discipline is being wise to receive instruction. Hallelujah. Come on, get on those keys. Look at this girl. Look at her move. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for the word of faith tonight. In the name of Jesus, we receive instruction. We discipline our lives. We receive the word of God tonight. Anywhere you want to take us, any way you want to lead us, we thank you, Lord God. We want to avoid disaster. We want to avoid trouble. We want to get out of trouble. We want to not be in trouble. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we make this profession of faith. We make this prayer of submission to you, dedication. We say, Lord, your will be done. Let your will be done in my life. I'll do what you said to do. I'll stop what you said to stop doing. I'll go where you said to go. I'll stay where you say to stay. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll confess the word over my life, over my family, over my business, over everything in my life. I want to thank you that I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. That I'm God's very own child. And God is my very own father. And he's provided all that I need. I will not be afraid of this life, because God is my Father. He's provided all things for me to have victory. I will not be afraid of sudden bad news, because God already knows I'm in his hands. I will not succumb to trials and troubles and stresses and sickness and disasters and mental anguish and emotional turmoil. I will not have a breakdown. I will not be sick. Thank God I'm rich. Thank God I'm full of power. Thank God he's my God. He's a stable God. He has rescued me. I am his very own child. I'm a happy child. I'm delivered. I'm free. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we make faith confessions. You know, that's how you prophesy over yourself. You need to start doing that, what I just did. You do that in your own closet, in your own home, in your bedroom. Do this, and you're going to find out it's going to lift you up. And God will speak to you. And as you prophesy over yourself, you're changing the direction of your life. Your spirit is being fed even by hearing yourself prophesy over yourself. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. The devil will flee. The devil will not stand. He'll not be anywhere near you. If you learn to praise God and prophesy over yourself, the devil will be so far away from you, he cannot get to you. Because the power of God is going to come on your life. And I want you to understand, we have the conference on Wednesday to Sunday. God told us to do it. And I've been obedient to do it. And I wouldn't spend any time not doing it if I didn't think God told me to do it. And he said, bring the word of faith out. And the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin in 1952, when Jesus appeared to him in a vision. He said, go teach my people faith. And he ran around all over the America, parts of Canada, driving all around with his car. He didn't have any money, hardly. He was broke most of the time, and he still preached prosperity. He preached that God meets all my needs. He had one pair of pants, and apparently at one time someone stole his pair of new, and he had to believe God for new ones, or that it would come back. And his pant came walking back. Just like the lost dog. But he called it back, and he was able to get some. He didn't have any tires to drive as he's driving down the road. And, you know, it gets 100 degrees. And when you're driving in 100 degrees daylight, your tires will pop. And so he had to drive during the nighttime when it's cooler. And the Lord said to him, Jesus appeared to him in a vision. He said, go teach my people faith. He didn't know how he was going to do it. So one day he's prophesying. Out of his spirit came, we're going to start a Bible school. That was years later. He's going to start a Bible school. And he said, they told him, brother, pastor, why did you say you're going to start a Bible school? I said, I never said I'm going to start a Bible school. Yes, you did. They went over to the table and said, yes, there it is. You said we're going to start a Bible school. So they started Rhema. It came out of his spirit. When the Lord called me in 1998, the Lord said to me, I heard the Spirit of the Lord as I'm talking to you right here, as clear as it can be. The Lord said, I want you to go to Rhema over here. Some of you guys remember that? Remember that? The Lord said to me, go. And so we went. I heard the Lord as clear as can be. And I knew it seemed like the worst time I could ever leave the city. And so we went. And I said, Lord, why? I was fighting with the Lord. You know, we fight with the Lord. I said, Lord, why did you send me over here? I don't have to go here. I could have went over here to this Bible school. Let's go to that Bible school in Canada. The money we have, our dollar is so low. We got 76, 74 cents or whatever it was. And we're spending so much more money. Lord, this is not wise in my mind. So I'm ironing my clothes one morning, getting ready for my classroom. I'm praying in the spirit, asking God questions. Brother Hagin pointed right at me. What I felt, he pointed right at me. He said, you know why God brought you here? He said, when Jesus spoke to me, and he said, kneel down before me, and he put right at my direction, I felt he was talking to me. Because I asked a question. He said, when Jesus pointed at me, and he said, you go teach my people faith. He said, Jesus was telling you the same thing. So I picked it up right away. And I knew right away what my mission was for Canada. Immediately when I came to Canada, the Lord put me on television. I've been on television for, 12 years or 11 years this year? 11 years? I didn't know. I didn't want to be on television. And just recently, the Lord spoke to me. He said to me, I don't want you to have that banquet that you're having to raise that money. He said, that's not my idea. To raise money that way. I was so afraid not to do it because I don't have any money. What am I going to do now? I don't have the that banquet. The Lord told me. He said, that's not my perfect will for you. He said, that's okay. You've done it. I'm not against it. That's the way you've done it. But he said, that's not my perfect will for you. You have to claw and work at it and just get stressed out and all that, stress people out. He said, that's not my will for you. Now you hear me say this right now. Now I don't know what I'm going to do next. How to get money. But if God told me to do it, he knows what he's doing. I told my staff, I told some of my workers, I said, okay, we're going to get that gala going again. We're going to have great fun. Woo! You know, but something inside of me said, don't do it. God has another way of doing things. I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe it's chicken. I never know, but God has a way. So I'm listening to God. I've been praying more recently. I've been getting to the Word day and night, just looking for whatever God wants me to do. What do you want to do? If you want to shut her down, I'm ready to shut her down. Whatever He wants to do, I'm better off without that. If God didn't tell me to do it, you're better off without that. If God didn't tell us to do it. But we want to be on God's side. But God said, I didn't want you to do that. He said, I want you to do four of them. No, I'm just kidding. No. And you know what? We were in the staff meeting. I said this to my staff. And I'm going to tell you something. I felt something physically, literally lift off from me. When that came off me and I looked across the table, Pastor Steve said, just something just left me right now. That was a confirmation. I knew something physically left me when I said that. It just went away like that. But I'm waiting for something else to drop into me. Say, Pastor is led by the Holy Ghost. Say, we will not lack anything. Say, this is going to be the best conference we've ever had. Glory to God. Say, I can't wait. Come on, lift that hand and praise Him. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I want you to pray. Believe God with me. Believe God in such a way. Get hungry. The Lord said to me, get hungry. So I told the Lord this one, I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry. Just fill me. Just do something. I'm just tired of the way I've been. I'm okay, but I want more of God. Amen? I want more of God, more than I ever had. I want to see this place filled with the anointing of God, the power of God coming. We don't have to lay hands on folks. They're just healed as they come in here. They're just healed by the power of God. People falling under the power of God. People getting out in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, God's giving them visions. Amen. People coming in who are not saved, all of a sudden, they're getting born again because of the anointing of God. I want you to lift your hands and begin to pray for the anointing of God to increase. Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We pray for anointing, that our preaching will not be with man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We will see the manifestation. We will see the greater glory, as Pastor Hagin said to us. We will see greater moves of God. People will not stand for just the average church. They want to see supernatural, supernatural move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Obrakishim randadesim. Obrakisa manana shitiba. Ola kishi anamana rakisumona. Mambra kishi dala makasa. And you will not believe your own very own eyes as you stand and see what God will unfold to you in the next several weeks. What God has said, it will come to pass even as you're standing here. Just as much as you're standing here, it will be a reality as God had said. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. How many people have that witness? Amen. You got that witness in you. Get up here right now. If you got that witness in you, if you felt the Spirit of God on you, come on, get up here right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, there's the Spirit of God came on you in a very strong way. I want to know right now, we have several witnesses, the power of God came on you. Oh, blessed be God forever. Let the power flow. Let the power of God flow. Let the anointing of God flow in this place. Oh, Rama Shite, Rama Kasa, Embra Kisolamo, Sobra Kisinde. Oh, Braka Nanamasa. Holy Ghost flow. Holy Ghost flow. Holy Ghost flow. Holy Ghost flow. Hey, hey, hey. Holy Ghost. Oh, Brakise, Mandadasa. Holy Ghost flow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Holy Ghost. Ha 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 ha! Ah, brakiso! Oh, rabakasam brakise! Hey, babarada! Ah, brakisa, bakarasa! Ha 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 ha! Ah, yabra! Oh, rabaradeshe! Ah, rababasa! Yabra kisa! Ho 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 ho! Rabara! Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! Oh ho! Oh ho! Babaradisa! Oh, brandiradesha! Oh, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. Oh, yeah. Makiri, dan the mosom broki, she by the makiri, she. God knows. God knows your heart. He knows from in and out, flowing in and flowing out But God has arrested situations, stopped things from happening. You're coming your way, and tonight is a new night. There's going to be a brighter light in your life. A new dawn. A new way of walking, a new way of talking. Woo! Yeah, maka nisi mananoso broki sindede. Turning from the other way, the evil ways, and turning to the good. Oh, brahidi. Oh, there's going to be a oh, mandi disi the maka sambra disi. Thank you. Manda, mako site. Oh, it's going to be all right. Ha ha. No more city. Oh, go ahead and laugh at the devil. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But I'm just go bashita, just be the receiver. Oh, Baba Deshi. Baba Deshi. Baba Deshi. Oh, mankere shete. Oh, inside out, inside out, turning around. Mandere shete, karabasa. You, Najisha, man, and you, and you, and you, and you, man, Namanisha, Manadisha, Boko. Oh, whoa, 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 Amrakisha, de bakara. So, jump. Put your mind on the things above. Oh, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, things are about to change. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God. Mombadishi. Bumbadishi, Bakadashi Te, the Bosom, Mendere Kisha, Nakaraba, joy, unspeakable, ho ho ho, full of glory. Ah, Manda Deshi, chains have been broken, long standing chains. Woo! Ho, 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 you'll know the right way to go. Ah, manada, but the anointing inside of you is about to teach you some new things, new directions, new things shall unfold. Oh, little here and a little there. Just be open to instruction. Be manda soko. I place pillars in you and around you to stir you in the right direction. Ha, ha, ha. There's no more turmoil, no more turning back. The days of darkness have gone. Oh, ha, 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 life and no death shall be in your pathway. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Babara kise, manaboko sa manadeshi nandalaka. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shite bakasa, all things are possible. Do not fear. Do not fear what men have said. Do not fear what statistics have said. Do not fear anything else. But have the fear of the Lord. Begin to obey my voice on the inside of you. And when you read my word, be quick to follow it. And be quick to learn the discipline of the Lord. Oh, brakishinda bakasa. Ambrakisha. Are you guys a couple?
Yes.
Yeah? Oh, shambrakisha. There's a direction coming your way beyond human instruction on the inside of you. You'll say one thing and she says, yeah, I know what. I've had that all the time in my spirit. It was always there all the time. I didn't know. Yeah, you had that too. Yeah, I had it. Yeah, that God's going to show you as a couple. Oh, by the coming weeks, there are going to be some nice changes coming. Ho, 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 ho. Ha, ha, ha. Mondo shiki ribakasa bakara. Let your spirit guide you. The spirit will test the things that are about to come. Oh, be careful. Be careful. And not listen to what man has said to you. But let the spirit of God guide. As you perceive the knowledge that's coming from the Lord, you say, how did it happen? How did that come to me? Well, the Spirit of God has moved upon you. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all over the inmost parts of the belly, oh, giving you light to your darkness. Oh, namanishi karamasa tala bekere shite bakara baka shite te rabara kishi te makoshi. Hey, hey, hey. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Mo brakishi mandana kasa ta. Mondo kushi teke. Oh, mananosi te bakaraba. I see you taking the little baby steps. You are taking little baby steps. There is going to be some real hopping going along. Real bopping in the things of God. Things are going to start to cook. Woo, glory to God. You're going to be jumping, leaping like calves of a stall, the Bible says. And healing shall happen in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing. Oh, Ramadeshi, Mandadeshi. Oh, Rabaka. Lift that hand up, guys, because the power of God in operation. The power of God has been dispersed among the people of God. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Father, we want to thank you for the manifestation. And we know the Spirit of God. We just know that the anointing is lifted. But we know the Spirit of God is still here. In the name of Jesus, we thank God for that. Father, we want more. We're hungry in this church. We don't want to settle for just a normal church. We want to settle for the gifts of the Spirit, the move of God, and every service. And you told me, let every service be a supernatural encounter. And sometimes we forgot about the word of knowledge and wisdom. But the demonstrations will come. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you Sunday. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.